Lord, thank you for the privilege of us gathering together here on a Sunday. And thank you for the privilege of us all being here together today. And Lord, that previous song that we sang, Lord, you have my heart, just reverberated in my mind. And I know you've got this man's heart, and you've got our hearts, and we want to hear from you. So I want to pray, Lord, that out of this man's heart and out of this man's lips, that we will hear your words today.
It's really special when a statesman prays for you. He's a statesman in the body of this body. He really is. I really say that. I really honour him. That's why he carries authority in prayer. You pray out of who you are. You carry what you are. So we're looking at every member in ministry today. And it's interesting that it comes within this section here. So for those of you who don't know, this is our why, or our purpose. Second ring is our how. This is the what of River. And we're looking at this orange quadrant, which is living like heaven is near. It's really interesting that in order to fulfill that quadrant, what you need is every member in ministry. You don't just need a few bright stars. What you actually need is everyone involved courageously. That's what that comes down to. Everyone taking a risk together. Everyone learning together, growing together, risking together, facing fear together. I did two or three new things this week. I was absolutely cacking myself. Absolutely cacking myself. But if you don't keep doing those things, I've worked out you don't grow. Every member in ministry. It's a build-up. And it worked. The body is a unit that's made up of many parts. And through all its parts are many. They form one body, so it is with Christ. Very simple. The body construct, my physical body, skinny as it is made of many parts. But it forms one body. That is the dynamic that is in the heart of the Father. What is at the heart of the Father is collaboration. What is at the heart of the Father is growing together. The whole way we've been made, the whole cell structure that we are formed by, is a reflection of the heart and nature of God. It's the only way he knows to build. He does know how to build with stars, he builds with bodies. The problem is, for many years, the church has basically chased the stars, the individuals, the great gifted ones, not the body. It is totally and utterly unbiblical. This is the belief of this community. This is the foundation of River. This is for us that started River what we went for. No more priests in frocks leading us from the front once a week. None of that stuff. I'm sorry, that's out the door. What we're here for is a radical community that will live out the life of the Christ. That's why we're here. It's everybody in ministry with no hierarchy. There is no head. The only head is the Christ. And actually, the only authority, if you want to put it in that way, is right at the bottom in the foundations, because the foundations are the apostles and prophets, which are not the top, but the bottom. Notice that metaphor. They're the bottom. They're not the big cheeses. They're the bottom. They're the foundations. They're the things we stand on. There's a few things said. So, we believe in body ministry. We believe in a presbytery model. What does that mean? Well, and I'm not just doing this to slag off other belief systems. I'm doing this to bring clarity for those of you who don't know what we stand for. You see, if you look at models for leadership in the New Testament, there is nothing anywhere about carving up the nation as a series of parishes being led by one or two people. It's just not in Scripture at all. And there are many other models like that. If you go to the Pentecostal model, a lot of Pentecostal churches, it is really built around, believe me, I've been around a lot of them, it is really built around one leader, a hierarchy, and a dynasty, which is often related to a family. And that family gets all the jobs. It's called empire building. But it has no, absolutely no biblical foundation at all. The foundation for leadership in the New Testament is what's called a presbytery model. So let me show you, because I'm sure you want a verse for it. So let me give you a verse for it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit unto us not to burden you with. Boom, 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 boom. So these are the apostles deciding to make a decision about a community. Was it one apostle that made the decision? Big clue is the word us. It seemed good to those, but unto us, not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Can you really imagine a Jewish culture where dialogue, debate, and a great big argument wasn't at the center of it? Seriously? Can you? Can you really imagine one person getting the right just to stand up and say something and say that's the way it goes? No, it was out of dialogue. It was out of life. It was out of collaboration. It was out of sharing and learning together. Out of that they spoke and they found wisdom. And then they said, and it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a clue. So what's at the core of this decision-making process? It's collaboration with God, with the Holy Spirit, with one another. That's how they made their decisions. That's how they moved the whole thing forward. It was out of a deep knowledge of the work and power of the Holy Spirit, combined with collaboration, combined with dialogue, combined with sharing ideas, combined with growing and building together. That is body ministry. And that's why here you will find things keep changing. That's why here you will find that beliefs keep changing. Because basically there are two sorts of churches. There are churches that basically form a castle. And they form a series of walls that are truths, and you stand behind those walls. So the truth might be something like this. And there is a stream in the UK that believes this. The truth might be women are not allowed in leadership. So they spend all their lives defending that truth. Because that's a castle. And the castle really is quite self-contained. And the castle is good in many ways, because the castle defends you, and the castle can defend the land. And then you go out from the castle, and you take your people out from the castle, and you kind of raid into the land a bit, and you have some influence in the land. But in the end, you spend most of the time defending your castle. You spend most of the time defending truth. Because truth's the thing, you see. If we don't have our truth, then we're not there. If our truths get eroded, so if our truths around, let's really nail some of the things, if our truths around sexuality get eroded, oh, that's really, really dangerous. Because that's the truth we've got to defend, you see. The model that's here is this. We just shove a flag up a pole. And there are certain core flags that we shove up poles that are absolutely non-negotiable. Like the virgin birth. Yes? Yes? Like the resurrection. Yes. Like the belief in women in leadership. Yes, that's non-negotiable here. Like caring for the poor. That's non-negotiable here. Flowing in the Holy Spirit. That's non-negotiable here. Having an intimate relationship with the Christ. That's non-negotiable here. Being part of a global body that we love and respect and honour. That's non-negotiable here. Those things are non-negotiable. But let's be honest. There's lots of other flags we run up and down the pole the whole time. For instance, I'll give you a new flag that's just joined us, caring for the planet. That flag wasn't here at all 5 years ago. 6 years ago, was it? Come on, it wasn't, wasn't it? So we honour people like Karen who've had the guts to run that flag up the pole. So when Karen, as a member of the body of Christ, decides that's her thing, what do? We go and gather under her flag. And we help her raise her flag. And that is body ministry. So here's my question to you. What's your flag for this community? Is it business? What is it? What's the flag that God actually is causing you to run up the pole for us at the moment? And that flag might only be there for a season. So don't feel once you raise a flag, you've got to do it for life. Because that's a killer, isn't it? It might be you do it for a season. But what is the flag? What's the thing that you want to put up there? You see, I believe, basically, this is what it's all about. I actually feel these words are the wrong way around, so I'll blame my dyslexia. I believe, first of all, being in the body is about being valued. It's just about being valued. And if you truly want to find your place in the body of Christ, the first thing you need to really deeply understand and know is that you are valued by God and you are valued by this community. Value is the foundation stone on which we stand. And let's have an honest moment. Often there are times we don't feel very valued, or am I the only one? Hello? Come on. Let's be honest. Come on. So when I was leading this church, I felt very, very valued. When I came off leading this church, I went through a period where I felt totally not valued at all and was very close to leaving. Yeah? Because I'd lost my sense of value. I didn't feel valued. I didn't feel there was a place here for me. And the things I was carrying deeply in my heart, it felt like there was no vehicle for me to do those kind of things. I didn't feel valued. And therefore, if you don't feel valued, then you don't feel empowered. So I didn't feel empowered to do much about it because I didn't feel very valued. And because it wasn't valued and empowered, I didn't really feel placed. I didn't know where I fit in the system. So here it goes. Know your value. Be empowered. Find your place. Know your value. Be empowered. Find your place. Know your value. Be empowered. Find your place. But do it at the value that you know that the Christ has given you and this community has given you. So I have a sense whenever I go anywhere, this is honestly true, whenever I go anywhere, whenever I'm going anywhere commercially in my work, I've got to be careful what I say because something's confidential, but I was in a situation this week where I kind of felt I was representing you all. I thought, I'm just an expression of this family, and I just imagined you all cheering me on. And that's the one thing that stopped me cacking myself, to be honest with you. Was God as well, but it's actually a thought of you boys being behind me. You guys just being behind me, and knowing that there'd be many people in this room that would be cheering me on. That's what kept me going. I felt valued, so then I felt empowered, and then I felt placed. And I want to encourage you, you're valued here. You're valued here. And there's a liar, a thief and a destroyer that says that you're not. And wants to push you to the edge of this community for you to drop off the edge. That's what he always does. But you're valued here. So move from value to empowerment. And from empowerment, move to finding your place. Every member in ministry. So I've noticed in my short time here that there are a few characteristics of when people do really well. You see, every community has a culture. Every community does. So, Patrick Lencioni describes culture this way. He says this. I think it's a great definition of culture. Culture is how you have to behave to get on around here. Culture is how you have to behave to get on around here. Now, I wasn't sure how good this was until a couple of years ago I was doing a workshop and I had the head of anthropology for Berkeley University sitting there. So I was basically, again, cacking myself. It's been a lot of my life cacking myself. Anyway, I was pretty scared because I was about to do this culture workshop and I thought, oh, here we go. And I put up a definition of culture and some bright spark turned to this eminent doctor and said, is that a good definition of culture? I thought, thanks, that's a great start to my workshop. Cheers, mate. And I sort of died inwardly, and he said, no, it's not at all. But why does it have to be? That's what I want to know. Typical academic, bashed it straight back. And then I put that up, and he went, now that's a very good definition of culture. And I thought, yes, in the back. Right, I felt valued. I felt empowered, and I felt placed in that moment. So, openness in relationships. We're part, Sandra and I, of a home group for new members in River. They're all totally barking mad in our group. Aren't you? We're all lovely. What's so fantastic about our group is this. We come from such different spiritual roots, and it just doesn't matter. And we're learning from each other. We are genuinely learning from each other. So he doesn't know this, but I learnt a lot from him last week after the rugby. This is the one that we won, not the one that we lost. We won't go there. We've been learning a lot of in humility in our group in the last week. We were discussing alcohol. Because these guys come from a Salvation Army background where you don't drink alcohol. Well, in River, you drink. Do you not? Come on, do we not? And some of us drink quite a lot. Do we not? I have really learned and honour these two for what I have learned around that issue as I watched them walk it out in the last few months. I honour you for your stance. I've learned something from them. Do you know what I've learned? At times, I drink too much. They don't need to change. They're not making me change. I'm not making them change. But together, we're on a journey. Yeah? Yeah? That's what River's about. See, when you come to River, I'm not saying they have to clean their act up, by the way. There's no link between these next two statements. You don't have to clean your act up and be all right. The whole idea is this. We're not here to judge you. We're here to grow you. Judgment is not our job. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to love. And as we love, the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts. And as he convicts, we go, yeah, you're probably right. Because if I teach you something, you learn nothing. But if you self-reveal, you learn a lot more. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He self-reveals because he is the ultimate teacher. That's why you don't find God going bang, 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 bang at you. What he does is he raises issues in your heart, doesn't he? He just starts to reveal things to you, doesn't he? He self-reveals. He just slowly lets these things grow in you. And it's so flipping annoying because then it becomes part of you. And then you realize you've got to change. He self-reveals to you his glory. He self-reveals to you his genius. Because he is a genius. I've noticed it's about commitment. I've noticed those that really commit themselves to something in this place do really well. They find something, just one thing, and they just commit to that. And that becomes an area of growth. I've just noticed that. When I was about 18, 21, a guy came to me and said, "Al, you're a good leader, but your problem is you don't actually have one really outstanding gift." Pretty straightforward piece of observation, really. Fairly strong, fairly straight. And he was using at that time, which is a model that I'm not so keen on now, because I think it's too limiting and restricting, but he was looking at the fivefold ministry model. And he was saying, "Well, you sure as hell aren't a teacher." "Well, I know that." "And you certainly aren't a theologian." "Well, I know that." "And you're certainly not a pastor." "I know, if you've been around me, you'll know all this stuff straight away." "But what would you think you'd like to be?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I think I think in pictures. I think I might be a prophet." So I just went and followed a prophet for a year and just carried his bags. Went wherever he went. And I just tried a few things. Looking back, really stupid things. Like I would lose things. I mean, I lose everything all the time. And I'd say, "Father, that thing I've lost, where is it?" Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I just began to think, I see in pictures, so why don't I just share the pictures I see? Does that make sense? So I just began to explore the thing that I was doing, and that became my love and my service. That became my love gift. And I realized the thing I really loved doing was just helping people find Jesus and just feel his spirit. I began to realize that just the simple things that I take of just seeing pictures could be something that God could turn into something and use to change lives. He could actually use the things I'm not very good at, because my seeing pictures comes out of dyslexia and comes out of an ability not to be able to read and write very well. So because I can't do those things, I visualize. So God takes our weaknesses. He takes the very things that formed us and made us, and those are things he then goes and use. So please don't sit there and say, I have a weakness, because I've just set you up. Because basically, probably your very area of weakness might well be the trigger he uses to take you to greatness, because that's how he does it. That's what I've found. So he takes the very small things, and he just uses them, and he takes them into something that is really, really powerful. And finally, I've noticed that people that do well here and grow well here are life learners. Okay, here we go. Right. This is a journey from here to here. Okay? This is the journey, say, of my life, from here to here. What I believe back here is not what I believe here. Because if I don't believe here, I'm not on pilgrimage and I'm not growing. So every time I learn a bit more about God, I grow, and I realize some things I used to believe are a bit rubbish. Don't really work. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it goes like that, and then it feels there's an awful lot of this going on. And there's an awful lot of this going on. And there's an awful lot of this going on. And there's an awful lot of this going on. I think, am I actually getting any further forward? I'm really not sure, because I keep going back to that line. And I'm really not quite sure what I believe or why I believe or where I'm going. But there's one thing I know, I'm committed to a journey. Yes? So am I the only one in this room? I am totally confused by spiritual warfare. Totally utterly confused by it. I have had every view under the sun around spiritual warfare, from thumping stakes in the ground for revival to thinking, this is a load of cobblers, basically. I'm not really sure about any of it. Really? But there are days in which it feels like spiritual warfare is the most important thing in my life. I can't get through that without spiritual warfare. Yes? And actually, on those days, spiritual warfare really helps me. But other days, it feels like Donald Duck or Asterix or something. It has no relevance whatsoever to my life. And I really can't quite work it out. Or am I the only one? That is not fear. That is not unbelief. That is pilgrimage. Huh? It's pilgrimage. Pilgrims are committed to a journey of the soul. What is the journey of your soul? How is your soul growing? What are you doing to grow your soul, the core of who you are? It's a good question. A really good question. How do I grow my soul? How do I grow the core of who I am? I grow it by living my life out in the context of this glorious, glorious community that carries so much wisdom, so much love, so much care, so much understanding, so much kindness, so much fun, so much wisdom, so much compassion, so much worship, so much courage. And I learn, I draw from that community, and so I grow. So I've noticed that when the desire to stop learning stops, and we become fixed grid, and we think we know it all, you don't do very well in river. But if you can acknowledge, basically, you're just a kid on a journey, it works very well for you here. Clarity of purpose. This is a big buzzword at the moment. Purpose. Go and find your purpose. We were discussing it on Friday night. What does purpose mean? What's your why? What do you really stand for? Why are you here? Is there a real clarity for you? Is it like this? For me, it's a bit like this. It's water, it's there, but it keeps moving. It's getting clearer, but it's kind of emerging. This is my purpose. And I want to encourage you, give you a bit of homework, if you can. I want to tell you about the journey I've been on with these three words. And what I like about these three words is they're not religious. They're not church words, by the way. I just quite like that. I don't know why, I just do. So this comes out of me doing a lot of work around purpose and, running quite a lot of workshops around this stuff. And one of my brave areas for me has been entering a community called Abakin that is part of McKinsey. And what's been so good for me in that journey is that I've been so fearful. And what's been good for me in that journey is I've been so out of my depth. And what's been good for me in that journey is I've had to really fight for it. And it's probably taken me 3 years to be on the edge of a community of about 200 world-class facilitators and actually to get accepted into that community and to find my place. And that's only really actually begun to happen since making a film a few months ago and that being shared with the community. And that was kind of the doorway that opened it up. And I share that story because I think for many of us that's what it feels like being in church or finding a way in life. That when we go and really stretch for something and we try something new, it really is quite fearful and quite disturbing and our system gets really disturbed. And then many times I thought, why am I doing this? I've invested literally tens of thousands of pounds and I'm getting no work at all. This is beginning to become a bit of a joke. Why am I here? And others are getting work and I'm not. And then as I really got in the face of God and I listened to those within the system, my boss, Neil, who I want to really honour, I began to understand that the reason why I was placed in this community was to bring creativity. You see, I believe we are all creative in this room. The problem is, most of your education has told you you're not. It's told you if you can't paint, you can't draw, you can't play a musical instrument, you're not very creative. Or you can't write great copy. You're not very creative. You're not very good at being creative. Oh, I'm not creative. And people say, well, I'm not creative. Well, actually, I believe you are. Because it's very, very simple. You're made an image of a creator. So whether you like it or not, you will create, because that's in your DNA. It's just your definition of creative is so limited, it's just ridiculous. We're all creative. So, my mission in life is to help people find their creativity. Because in finding their creativity, I believe they do their best work. And when you create something, it's magical. for the first time in my life this Wednesday, I created, and that's why it went up on the screen, I created gnocchi. For the first time. This is an outstanding miracle, you need to understand. It was cheese and sage gnocchi. And I said to myself, it was really good. I've had a mindset in my head, which is, I can't cook. Can't cook that well, but at least I can now create gnocchi. And we have these mindsets in our heads. Secondly, I believe in people. I love people. I think people are God's most outstanding creation. So, I'm going to say it again. I said enough naughty things already this morning. I'll keep going. So you know how when people say, I'm just going to say it. So it's like, you know, people go, oh, isn't it amazing how you see God in that waterfall or God in that mountain or God in that tree or whatever it is? And they talk about places where they find God. And often people say, well, I find God in nature and all those things. Well, I find God in buildings full of people. I just love being in a building crammed with people. I love the architecture. But what I love is I love the people enjoying the building. I love that. I love that. Give me Iceland Opera House or a mountain. I'll take Iceland Opera House every day of the week. Now, I know that's quite an unusual paradigm. But I just believe in people. I just believe that God believes in people. And finally, and this is the phrase I use outside technically. Am I over time? Just about in. Is this. I want people to find out where they are in the system. So I use that word when I'm speaking outside of church because it's broader and it's easier to access. Sometimes I use the word spirituality. And I say, when you understand where you are in this system of life, when you understand where you are in your consciousness, when you understand where you actually sit and are, and where you know your being is, and where you know where you have come from, and where you have a sense of where you are traveling to, when you understand the system, you do really well. Because there are so many people on our planet who do not know where they come from and do not know where they are going to. They have no clue about their source, about their foundations. They have no clue at all. And that's why there are so many lonely, lost people who are exiles, who have not found this wonderful thing that we are reading. They have not found this. You are no longer wandering exiles. You are a family. And when you truly find that you're no longer a wandering exile, but you understand that you have a context and that you have a place, and that place is called the kingdom of God, it's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? So, I have just tried to break my purpose down into three words. Creative, people, system. And I want to encourage you to do that. So being arty, of course, I've turned it into an icon. Because that's what I do. So, I want to change the icon, I realised this morning. This is a pencil, because I draw. I've realised I actually want it to be a red pencil when I was looking at it again this morning. I realise I want to bring people together. And I realise I want them just to know that they're loved and to know the system that they're in. So that's my icon. That's my badge. That's what I wear. That's who I am. Just close your eyes, would you? Here's my question to you. What are your three words? What's your ministry? Your ministry is the sum total of who you are. There is no sacred-secular divide. It is your being. It's what you fall out of as a person, the way that Christ has made you and formed you and challenged you. Yes, you are damaged goods. Yes, you are on a journey. Yes, you are incomplete. But you are perceived by the Father as a child who he adores. That's the only way he can see you. So acknowledging your restrictions, acknowledging your humanity and your frailty, what are the three words for you? Just sit with that for a moment. And as Andy plays, just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to embed this in you. Just get the first sketch. You won't get the whole painting today. Perhaps you'll just get the first word. But just sit with that first word. Perhaps there's one thing that stands out more, and then let the other two gather around it.